Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi there, and welcome to the Eurogamer Newscast. And this week we are maybe, finally, definitely, almost certainly at the end of the Activision Blizzard Microsoft saga. Joining me as ever, it's Eurogamer's news team. Sat next to me, it's Ed Nightingale.
Hi Tom.
Hello, sorry to see you. And Victoria Nightingale. Big news.
A lot has happened, guys.
Victoria Kennedy.
Hello. Not on the sofa, but now I wish I was.
Yes. Thanks for joining me here, guys. And yeah, a really big week for the Microsoft thing. We sort of knew it was coming, but we didn't know when.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was quicker than we expected. It's been, a week?
Just
under a week. Yeah. We wrapped up last Thursday. We're recording this on the Wednesday. But, I mean, there was sort of speculation it might come out. Oh, no, that was the week before, wasn't it?
I was expecting it last week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Time has lost all meaning.
Yeah, just over a week. It's because they lost a couple of days as well to the American holiday on July 4th.
So,
we didn't know exactly when it was going to come down, but the decision was made public yesterday, 4 p.m. UK time. And the decision was that Microsoft will not be blocked from buying Activision Blizzard, at least at this point, by the FTC. Were you expecting that?
Yes, to be honest. I think after everything that went down in the court case, it seemed like the FTC's argument was very much around exclusivity, whereas the CMA blocking it in the UK was much more around cloud gaming. And it feels like the rest of the world was okay with Call of Duty and that whole argument. It's just the UK on cloud gaming. So I think for the FTC to make that their argument was maybe an error, or at least maybe clearly was not a strong enough argument to win over the court.
Yeah. And Jim Ryan didn't turn up.
Yes. I was going to say, I think Jim Ryan was obviously going to be like their big... I was going to say star witness. That's not the right phrasing, but you know what I mean. He was going to be their big, like, heavy hitter. This is, we've got Sony. And the fact that he kind of phoned it in, literally, I don't know if that particularly helped their case. Do you think it would have
been... I think they made it a case too much about Sony, and then it was very easy. I mean, probably my favourite line from all of this was the judge's sort of dismissal of all of these issues to do with Sony. By saying that, yes, this deal is perhaps bad for Sony, but it's good for Call of Duty gamers and future gamers.
Yes.
And so by making it about Sony, it became this inter-business relationship. And it was quite easy then for Microsoft to come in and say, but we're doing this for the gamers. The 10-year deals. Think of the 10-year deals.
Yeah.
And the places that Call of Duty will be where it wasn't before. It'll be on Switch, you know? And that's for someone like the judge has clearly decided that that's the bigger issue here rather than Sony's personal grievance against the competitor.
It's not a console war as much as it's been pitted as that. Like, this is a business decision. It's not just a Sony versus Microsoft, the gamers picking their side, which is maybe what the FTC argument maybe appeared to be.
I think that's pretty much spot on. The way it was presented in court, yeah, it did make it feel more like console wars. And as you said, this is a business decision. And, you know, as the FTC, as the judge ruled, you know, I think that actually what Microsoft is offering with their 10-year deals with Nintendo, NVIDIA, etc., it's actually going to potentially, in theory, if this goes through, you know, fully, will offer Call of Duty, etc., to more people that didn't have it before, like on the Nintendo. So, yeah.
There were quite a few reasons. Sorry, Victoria.
Oh, no. I was going to make a slightly quippy joke, which I'll save later. So you go first.
Okay. I was going to say there were a couple of reasons. Well, there were a lot of reasons actually, really, why it failed. It didn't seem from the judgment to be a particularly close call. The judge was fairly certain on all of these counts that Microsoft wasn't about to pull Call of Duty from PlayStation. I don't think anyone's really expected them to do that after everything that they had said, and they were able to quite openly say, well, this would be a terrible decision for X, Y, and Z, and the judge agreed with them on that. The cloud streaming of games didn't really get too much of a discussion. If anything, it was sort of the judge went along with Microsoft's argument that it had signed these other deals, and so before the merger, there was no access to Activision content on other cloud streaming services, and because of sort of the concessions that Microsoft had done, even if it is just for that 10-year window, there now is. And that overall, then, this really, the situation benefited gamers and left them with a better overall sort of access to Activision titles than the current situation because of the concessions that Microsoft had made. There was really sort of none of the hesitation that the CMA had said about cloud gaming, and then it was this 10-year. Even in 10 years, you know, you don't know like what impact this is going to have, and we don't want to monitor it for 10 years. And beyond the 10 years, you know, if Microsoft owns this content, if Microsoft owns Activision Blizzard, it's still giving them too big of a leg up. And, you know, it's too early for us to really know how much of a leg up it's going to be. So we're blocking it out of caution. None of that at all. It was pretty cut and dry, I would say.
Yeah. And I think it for me, it sort of makes the CMA's decision more interesting as to why have they pinned this so much on cloud gaming. It's when that hasn't really featured as much in this court case. It feels like the UK is really trying to, I guess, future proof and look ahead. But that's not the immediate argument that everybody else has put forward. The CMA really does feel like an outlier. I mean, it is an outlier, but it feels even more so now after all the arguments in this court case that what they've pinned it on just hasn't really featured here.
Yeah. Speaking of the cloud gaming, even Jim Ryan, like I think we discussed this previous as well, but even Jim Ryan, whenever cloud gaming did come up during this court case, he wasn't particularly concerned by that aspect generally, or well, at least that's the impression he gave. So yeah, CMA is definitely an outlier in this one if even Jim Ryan's not trying to voice his concern about it right now.
And then the other big piece of news yesterday, really off the back of this decision, was, speaking of the CMA, the news that Microsoft and the CMA would now try again. This was a surprise to me, that this has been happening so quickly. Maybe naively I didn't sort of think, well, you know, this stuff's probably all happening behind the scenes. But it quite clearly has been, because in line with the announcement yesterday of this FTC decision, you also had the comment from Brad Smith, Microsoft president, saying it is now in the public interest for the CMA and Microsoft to get back around the table. So clearly they knew that the FTC decision was coming. They knew what it was going to be. And they said to the CMA, hey, guys, this is going to leave you looking like you're one out.
Yeah, and I guess they ultimately want a fast decision on that so that they can get cracking on this deal that is most definitely now going to go through.
I was going to say, since this verdict, I now just think the deal is all but done, essentially. And yeah, the CMA, I don't think their hand has been forced, because I realise that they are still a professional organisation in their own right, but it does feel very much now like, well, really, guys, like what is stopping us really now? We need to just get this done. In very
there's definite terms. Pressure on the CMA.
Yeah.
Definite pressure on the CMA. We've seen a lot of the political pressure from people up to the Prime Minister criticising the fact that the UK is the outlier here and the signal that sends to businesses. Because Microsoft has suggested that if the US was to go its way, which it now has, they would find some creative way to get around this.
Yeah.
And
loophole it.
People have speculated what that might look like. But
yeah,
if they did that.
I definitely think now that this deal will be maybe not 100% finalized, but like I definitely, like, my time frame for everything now feels a lot closer to everything being done and dusted now. Like, I feel that this was the big hurdle, and now it's a sort of downhill slope.
Yeah, the CMA appeal, did we say, was going to maybe take a year or so
to
get through?
Months.
It, you know, maybe that will speed up now.
If they can get a deal done with the CMA kind of through the back door, then all of that appeals process goes away. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they were already at a point yesterday where they were saying, we are back around the negotiating table, we don't agree with the CMA's decision. That language was quite interesting to me because it suggested that they were going to do something that they really didn't want to do, but that in the short term was the better decision for them to get the overall deal over the line.
Mm-hmm.
The alternative was that Microsoft was going to have to wriggle around the CMA, you know, do some weird thing like, I mean, they wouldn't call Activision. They wouldn't call... if you can sell in the UK, would they release a different version of the product here, or not release it on Game Pass here, or set up some bizarre shell company which got around the UK's? I mean, it was all going to be a bit of a mess, and I think the CMA knew that Microsoft, with the FTC on its side, would create a really messy situation where the CMA is placed in a position where consumers in the UK are saying, look at the mess you've made. Look at the situation we're in. I don't get Call of Duty my Game Pass because of your decision. You're supposed to be standing up for the consumer. Average Call of Duty player here is actually disadvantaged by the fact that the CMA has taken such a hard line. At that point, the CMA, the pressure on it, the potential pressure, if this was all to play out, you could see that the CMA being like, oh, goodness, well, look, America's done it now, hasn't they? So I guess, like, we just have to sort this out as quickly as possible and as easily as possible. I think they'll still do it in a way that makes it look like the CMA has had some positive influence on this. Like, they'll get some concession and say, okay, because they don't want to lose face. And, you know, they protested the previous ruling pretty forcefully on cloud gaming. They'll want to get something from that so they can then say, look, we got our concession and now we're happy.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Because otherwise that was pointless if they, you know,
yeah,
made all this effort and then nothing actually happened from that. So yeah, they'll want something, but I think that the deal will go through now, and it's just a formality of what small thing do they want to give the CMA.
Yeah.
What do you think that can be?
I mean, their argument has hinged so much on cloud gaming that I think maybe it's something on that. What specifically, I don't know, but I feel like the exclusivity thing just wasn't an issue for them. So is there some small thing around cloud gaming where they can help to future-proof, as the CMA seems to want to?
Do you think this would potentially start a snowball? Well, I suppose if people have already agreed, they've already agreed, but this wouldn't start a snowball. Let's just say very, very hypothetically that Microsoft said, right, in the UK, we will actually extend our cloud gaming deals for another 5 years. So UK has 15 years with XYZ or whatever. This is a very hypothetical. Do you think then other people would be like, well, no, if you're doing it for the UK, you do it for us? Or do you think that it will be something that's kind of very sort of small token gesture specific to just the UK?
I wonder if instead of extending what's out there already, Microsoft takes a penalty and says, well, actually, we're going to not allow game streaming in the UK because the game streaming market there, the CMA is really protective of it. And we aren't going to do that. It'll be interesting if they do, because that then creates the issue of the fact that people have already paid for game streaming as a feature in Game Pass.
Yeah.
Because it comes with Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. There is... and that brings up, there's a similar situation with PlayStation Plus, where I don't know if you know, but there's some markets in the world don't have game streaming. And so there's actually like a fourth tier beyond basic, extra and premium.
Oh, I think those are the names.
Where it's like premium, but you don't get the game streaming.
Mm-hmm.
And that's slightly cheaper because you don't get one of the features. So maybe Xbox does that for the UK?
That actually seems quite fair. Well, not fair, but an option.
Yeah.
I feel like Microsoft might just go for whatever is going to be the quickest.
Yeah.
Because they just want to get this through.
Just get it done.
They want to crack on and own Diablo and whatever else. So I feel like they just want a decision and just want to crack on now. So whatever is just the quickest, easiest thing in order to move forward, I imagine that's what they will, that's what they'll go for, which, like, I agree with you, might be a penalty on their part just to prove that they are willing to make some sort of concession.
Yeah. Oh, can you imagine being in the Microsoft offices yesterday when the news was announced? That must have been to be a fly on the wall. Or just popping actually champagne. Be there popping champagne. That must be after, a year and a half that it's been since they announced? January last year. So, gosh, what a feeling. What a feeling.
I did quite like Lulu Cheng Mazzervi's tweets, which seemed quite pointed. She said, the legal system worked. A fair and neutral court has reached the correct conclusion about Activision Blizzard's merger with Microsoft based on facts and the law, as opposed to, like, gamers arguing. And I guess the whole argument about the... Was it the judge's son who works for Microsoft? So, like, that's come up, the fact she's like, no, it's a fair and neutral court. it just seemed quite pointed, which amused me.
I do enjoy her tweets.
Fair and neutral Lulu there. if speaking of, you know, what must have been like in the room, what do you think it was like in the room at PlayStation yesterday?
They must have seen this coming.
Well, right? That's what I'm thinking. The fact Jim Ryan phoned it in, I feel like did they expect this? Are they already planning ahead at this point, thinking, look, this is probably going to go through, what can we do about it? Are they already counting their coins to buy whoever else?
Where it is.
I'm saying nothing. You know, I feel like Sony's maybe already moved on from this a little bit.
Yeah, I did feel a little bit, like, I think they must have seen it coming, because even from someone who, fair enough, like, I'm involved in the sense that we write about it, so I'm more involved than, like, my neighbours or whatever, but even when we were waiting for a decision, I kind of knew which way it was going to go anyway. Like, I would have been surprised if they had ruled in favour of the FTC. So I can only assume that people who were even more closely involved with it would also have felt the same.
For me, it was when you got that email from Jim Ryan to, I can't remember who now, but I think it was from earlier this year, and they'd spent some time with Phil Spencer. It might have been in Brussels, actually. When we were over there, they had a sit down, and Jim Ryan's like, yeah, like, we're not going to have any problems. They're not going to pull Call of Duty from PlayStation. It's going to be on Sony platforms for years and years to come. And at that point, are you just playing sort of the public role of saying, look, you know, this isn't going to be great for gamers. Whereas behind the scenes, you know, it's pretty much a done deal, and Sony's going to be okay. They would rather it didn't happen, but they know that they're not going to be ruined by it.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, as Microsoft have made very clear, they are in third place here, and Sony, I think, are pretty confident at the top with their big exclusives that sell a lot. They're selling plenty of consoles. I wonder if they're necessarily that worried about this behind the scenes, because they know that they're already doing very well.
Yeah.
And they know that, okay, Microsoft, by comparison, needs some exclusives. I guess Sony is the biggest competition to Microsoft. So maybe they felt like, well, we need to set up some kind of defense, I guess, against this. But how much of that was just for show? How much did they really believe in it? Jim Ryan maybe didn't, because he didn't bother turning up in person. So, you know, I feel like they probably knew, look, it's probably going to go through, but do we really care? No, because we're going to buy boom, 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 boom instead. So,
all right. So do you think this now kind of, as we said, it's not a done deal, but it more or less is a done deal. Do you think this is now going to open the doors? Do you think, like, other developers in the studios are now going to be like, right, well, you know, Microsoft have just gone and got this golden goose. What can we do now? Or do you think people are going to be like, actually, this has been a bit of a slog. I'm going to ease off. Or do you think we're going to see a studio acquisition floodgate open?
I think we might get a lot more acquisitions now, but maybe not to the size of this, because it has been, like you say, it has gone on a long time. It's probably a bit of a hassle. So I think we're more likely to see an acquisition between companies that have worked together a lot and already have a relationship where, I'm trying not to say Sony's going to be next, but where there is an existing relationship that I don't necessarily think that'll happen, but it just feels like an obvious example. You know, companies who have worked together a lot already have a working relationship and will be happy. You know, Microsoft aren't going to oppose that because they have no relationship with Square Enix anyway, if that were an example. So I think that kind of thing, yeah, fine. But I don't think we'll see anything quite to this size just yet.
Yeah, I think that this deal, I mean, it's a historically large deal, and I can't think of many other equivalent company buyouts that would command such a high amount, really. I mean, Sony and Square Enix, yeah, I think that's a pretty obvious one to see happening. And you could see, you know, Sony and basically the whole industry holding its breath and waiting to see what the result of this deal was going to be. And then when it went through, being like, okay, well, you know, there's going to be no issue in us buying Square Enix now. Microsoft have absolutely no legs to stand on to complain about this, and the regulators aren't going to bat an eyelid, because if $70 billion goes through, then 15 or whatever it would be for Square Enix is going to be absolutely okay. And it's a deal for the other side rather than Microsoft again. The only other one I'd keep an eye on right now is that I thought it was really interesting, the decision recently announced by EA to split itself. It reminds me of what Square Enix did, divesting itself of its Western studios. And I just wonder if there are similar moves going on behind the scenes there. You typically make that kind of sort of streamlining or reorganization if you are potentially thinking about that sort of thing. But you need to be a very big company to be interested in purchasing either half of EA. I can't really think of many other companies right now that I would say would be like, I mean, we just had from Microsoft, didn't we, all of that long list of potential
their shopping targets list.
Sega came out and said, we're not on the market at the moment. But apart from that, Bungie on that list obviously got bought by Sony. Niantic right now I'd be surprised about, even though they are doing more.
The IOI rumoured to be Xbox exclusive, the Project Dragon.
That is an interesting one. Yeah, because they're the right size studio that no one would bat an eyelid. They already have a really close working relationship with Xbox. And you could make this argument about Square Enix. I wonder what the business case is for actually buying them if they are already working on your games. Anyway, you've got that deal in place.
Well, that's the thing. Obviously there's a big difference, but what's the difference between acquiring a company and then just having an exclusive deal with them? Like, what benefits Microsoft save buying IO Interactive rather than just saying, right, the next Hitman or the next whatever is going to be exclusive?
Yeah.
More paperwork? I don't know. I'm sure there's a lot more to it than that. But
yeah. I mean, this has always been the way. Like, studios don't have to be owned by a company for them to be basically a second party. And games getting bigger, you need more and more support teams. You can see this right now with Microsoft looking to both Square Enix, Western, formerly Square Enix, I should say, Western Studios, to support its teams. So Crystal is working on Perfect Dark, and Eidos is working on the other project, which the name has now escaped me, but they are.
Avowed? No, it's not Avowed. That's Xbox. I can't remember.
Yeah. So, like, you don't need those studios to be yours to do that. It's a big PR win. I guess it's if you see a really long-term future with that company, and maybe they've got valuable IP of their own. So that to me suggests, like, yes, Square Enix, Sony would probably still be interested in that.
I suppose it would also
if you lock up the franchise, that's a really valuable thing. IO, Hitman, potentially valuable. Are people going to buy an Xbox just for Hitman? Maybe, I don't know. Less valuable than Final Fantasy.
I mean, I could also see Sony considering something like FromSoft. I mean, Elden Ring obviously has come out across multiple consoles, but there is a past history there of Bloodborne that I could imagine them. That's the sort of size of studio I could imagine being acquired.
If Sony did something like that,
but then also something like. Go on.
Oh, I was going to say, if they did see something like that, I would want them to be a little bit more like Microsoft is with their PC offering, though. Because I think they would. Because, I mean, like, Elden Ring came across all platforms and things, and I think it'd be really... I don't know. I just think that if they were to buy a studio like that, they would need to up their PC game. I think.
True. Also, was it Ubisoft a while ago who was saying that they were open to being bought?
Yeah, they didn't completely close that door.
Yeah.
And you could see, like, right now, they've been in trouble for a few years. At what point does Eve cash out? I think for me, he's made enough of a stand that it would be very easy for him at any point in the last 12, 24 months to, you know, basically sell up. But he hasn't. And I think that that's like partly due to it has always been a family firm and he has a personal relationship with it that he wants to continue running it. But you could, like, if the next crop of Assassin's Creed games, which is basically what the company is pinning all of its hopes on now, don't pan out.
What, not Skull and Bones? Then...
Well, interesting. I mean, the most interesting rumor about that recently is that they're using Skull and Bones to do a Black Flag remake, which is probably the far more profitable thing to do with all of that technology at this point than release Skull and Bones, which is Black Flag, but without.
Oh, we've been talking about these acquisitions. We've been sort of talking generally about like what IP would they own, but then I suppose there's also, you know, like obviously Sony have been using Bungie to work on like the Last of Us multiplayer and things, and so I suppose a lot of it could be maybe not so much what IPs that they could gain, but what talent they could gain from any acquisition.
And Microsoft getting King for mobile, you know, is there a big mobile studio still out there for one of these companies to acquire if they're looking to move into that space?
Yeah.
I just want you all helping on Fable. That was going to annoy me, so I just looked up. Victoria, you had a joke you mentioned.
Oh, no, I was just going to laugh. I was not laugh at you. That sounds really mean. But you said that your favorite quote is quite serious. My favorite quote from the whole proceedings was no Sharpies, but I just thought that was my favorite quote from the week's ongoing.
What a bizarre, brilliant court case.
I look forward to the film of this in 10 years time.
Yes.
Oh yeah,
where Bobby Kotick insists on playing himself.
He's already in the Actors Guild.
Yeah, I mean, that's why that film was it Moneyball.
Yep.
That's yeah, got him onto IMDb. Maybe that's what he's going to do when Microsoft buys Activision. And
he's going to become a full-time actor.
He gets his golden parachute and becomes a Hollywood star. Maybe not star, but...
Who plays Phil Spencer?
I would have Phil Spencer play Phil Spencer, because I like him. In his suit.
Yeah, no, that was weird. It was hard
to see. I'm trying to think of who'd be old enough in 10 years' time to play someone.
Just don't make it someone that's in everything. Like, I don't know, someone who's in everything.
How about your mate, Clive?
Yeah, Ben Starr. Ben Starr.
Ben Starr is in this little film.
Star. Ben Starr as Phil Spencer.
Yeah, because Phil Harrison is always big film. Anyway.
I was trying to explain this acquisition and things to my parents the other day, and I mentioned Phil Spencer, and they went, the guy from Location, Location, Location. And I was like, no, this is not. We're from a very different, like, I love you, you're my parents, you're wonderful, but no. It's not Phil Spencer.
No, that I would like to see.
Can you imagine? Little scarf.
He's a big thing.
Yeah. Maybe Phil Spencer. Anyway. Play Phil Spencer.
Maybe. Yeah.
Sorry.
Right. Let's leave it there before it gets any weirder. And we'll be back next week with whatever weird stuff has happened. The FTC may appeal, or the CMA may quickly come to a decision, and by the time we next convene, it is all done. We shall find out. Until then, Ed, where can people find you on Twitter or Threads or social media?
Social media. I am at @Ed_Knights pretty much everywhere.
Victoria?
I am at Little Chop Shop Gal pretty much everywhere.
And I am at Tom Phillips EG pretty much everywhere. All right. Thanks everyone for watching. See you next time. Bye for now.
Bye.
See you then.